Welcome to Modern Digital Applications, a podcast for corporate decision makers and executives looking to create or extend their digital business with the help of modern applications, processes, and software strategy. Now, welcome your host, a recognized industry thought leader in cloud computing and published author, bringing over 30 years of experience, Lee Acheson.
Scheduling of a cloud migration is a complex undertaking that should be thought and planned in advance. But in order for a migration to be successful, it is important that you limit your risk as much as possible during the migration itself so that unforeseen problems don't show up and cause your migration to go sideways, fail outright, or result in unexpected outages that negatively impact your business. In this episode, I'll discuss the five keys to reducing the risk of your cloud migration project. And then, what's the difference between services and microservices? This is Risk in the Cloud Migration on Modern Digital Applications.
And now our main story on modern digital applications.
The scheduling of a cloud migration is a complex undertaking that should be thought and planned in advance. Typically, a migration architect is involved and makes the difficult technical decisions of what to migrate when, in concert with the organization management to take into account the business needs. But it's important for a migration to be successful that you limit your risk as much as possible during the migration so that unforeseen problems don't show up and cause your migration to go sideways, to fail, or result in unexpected outages that negatively impact your business. When scheduling your migration, there are a number of things you should keep in mind to increase the likelihood of a successful migration and reduce the risk of the migration itself. Here are five key methods to reduce the risk of your cloud migration and hence increase your overall chance for success. Key number one, limit the complexity of migrating your data. The process of migrating your data from your on-premise data stores to the cloud is itself the hardest, most dangerous, and most time-consuming part of your migration. There are many ways to migrate your data. Some of the methods are quite complex and some of them are very basic. Some of them result in no need for downtime, while others require significant downtime in order to implement. There is a trade-off you need to make between the complexity of the migration process and the impact that complexity has on the migration, including the potential need for site downtime. While in some scenarios you must implement a complex data migration scheme in order to reduce or eliminate downtime and reduce risk along the way, in general, I recommend choosing as simple of a data migration scheme as possible given your system constraints and business constraints. The more complex your data migration strategy, the riskier your migration. By keeping the data migration process as simple as practical, given your business constraints, you reduce the overall risk of failure in your migration. Be aware, though, that you may require a certain level of migration complexity in order to maintain data redundancy and data availability during the migration itself. So the ultimate simplest migration process may in fact not be available to you. Still, it's important that you select the simplest migration process that achieves both your business and technical migration goals. Key number two, reduce the duration of the in-progress migration as much as possible. Put another way, do as much preparation work before you migrate as you can, and then once you start the migration, move as quickly as possible to completing the migration, postponing as much incremental work as possible until after the migration is complete and validated. By doing as much preparation work before the migration as possible, and pushing as much cleanup work to after the migration as possible, you reduce the amount of time and complexity of the migration itself. Given that your application is most at risk of a migration-related failure during the migration process itself, reducing this in-migration time is critical to reducing your overall risk. For example, it may be possible to accept a bit lower overall application performance in the short term during the scope of the migration in order to get to the end of the migration quicker. Then after the migration is complete, you can do some performance refactorings to improve your overall performance. While postponing an important performance improvement is not normally ideal as it increases your technical debt, in this case, the delay may be more beneficial because it allows the migration itself to complete quicker, which reduces your overall migration-related risk. Remember, your application is most at risk for something going wrong after the migration starts until the time when the entire application is moved to the cloud and the migration is complete. By postponing this performance improvement work until post-migration, you are able to keep the time of migration to as short a period as possible, hence reduce your risk. Key number 3, leave yourself as many options to back out a migration step as you can. The more options you have to revert a step in the migration, the less risky your migration will be as a whole. As you take each step of the migration, think before you execute the step. Ask yourself how you could back out of that step if something happened that requires you to back off. Every step you take that can be reversed if a problem occurs means your risk of executing that step is reduced. If you take a step that cannot be reversed, you're operating at a higher risk. Key number 4, be conscious of interim performance issues and the impact on system availability. If you're doing your cloud migration a service at a time, module at a time, or application at a time, there will be long periods of time when some services, modules, or applications are in the cloud and some others are still on-premise. Be very careful during these interim periods. Latency of communication between components that are in the cloud and components that are still on-premise will be significantly higher than if both components are either in the cloud or both are on-premise. This means that during the migration, when some components have been migrated and some have not, your overall system latency will be different, potentially significantly worse than it was before the migration or after the migration. This latency change may impact the usability of your system, and it may impact the availability of your system, since a significant change in latency between some components could cause unseen defects to become exposed and cause problems. During the migration, if some components have been moved, your application will act differently and slower than it will at any other time. Plan for these differences and use those differences in your determination of which modules to move when. Key number 5, do as much refactoring before you migrate as you possibly can. While this is a corollary of many of the previous keys, it is important to stress here as well. The more work you can do to prepare your application for the cloud before you move, the more likely you are to succeed in making the migration successful, and the quicker the migration will take overall. So in summary, the 5 keys to reducing your cloud migration risk are: limit the complexity of data migration, reduce the duration of all in-progress migrations, leave yourself backout options, be conscious of interim performance issues, and do as much refactoring before you begin the migration as possible. Keeping track of these 5 keys to risk reduction while you create your migration plan will help reduce your overall migration time and, most importantly, reduce the risk of a migration-related failure.
This is Tech Tappers, little bits of tech here on Modern Digital Applications.
There is some controversy in the industry about the use of the terms service and microservice. I personally do not like the term microservice. Well, why is that? Well, it's because the term microservice implies a specific sizing of a service that is not necessarily a healthy assumption. Yes, many services are small. Some of them are truly micro in size, but many are much larger too. The appropriate size for a service is based on context and is subject to many concerns and criteria. In my mind, the use of the term microservices biases this discussion. However, I recognize that the term microservice has gained strong popularity in the industry. There are also people that pigeonhole the use of the term service as part of the broader and older category of SOA, or service-oriented architectures. They further pigeonhole the term to refer to a particular type of architecture offering that was popular a decade or more or so ago. I find these comparisons inaccurate and confusing, and I do not believe they reference is reasonable. This makes service sound old and ancient, which is not at all true. As far as which term to use, my personal preference is to use the term service, but I recognize many people use the term microservice. So I tend to use both terms in my discussions with other companies, depending on context. In my mind, both the term service and microservice mean the exact same thing. And as such, I use the two terms interchangeably. When you hear me talk about services, microservices, service architectures, etc., I'm referring to the exact same thing.
Thank you for listening to Modern Digital Applications with Lee Acheson. Lee helps executives keep up with industry trends and best practices in cloud computing, application scaling, DevOps, and applications modernization in order to stay in front of disruptive influencers. Subscribe to this podcast to ensure you get each new episode as it's available. Visit mdacast.com for all the resources and publications from Lee and his team. Thank you for tuning in to today's show.